The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly by DeLon, producer number nine here as well. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man? You good?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Really don't need that though. If you don't think I get bidling all the time,
I'm
I don't
sure
need
do.
More people thinking it was bidling and then shifting.
Well, you've gotten worse on this show, haven't you? You put an end to that quick. Still to come this hour, we're going to talk to Pete Futak on college football, Jason Weingarten from Yes, Under a Cloud of Smoke, and Mike Pritchard standing by. Matter of fact, let's bring Pritch in. Mike Pritchard, everybody, former number one draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons, always a national champion at the University of Colorado. And Mike, great to see you. Great to talk to you. Usually we start with Colorado. I want to save Colorado here coming up.
Okay.
I just want to talk about this. The Jets stuff first. So yesterday they sign 31-year-old Trevor Siemian to their practice squad. Trevor Siemian, when last we saw him, was in the Bengals organization. They released him this offseason. We also got word from, of all people, the rapper J. Cole, that Colin Kaepernick had written this really actually pretty sound letter, I thought, to the Jets organization, saying, hey, I just want to be on the practice squad. No pressure on Zach, but if he goes down, I might be a great elite option to have. I guess the question is, how did they end up on Trevor Siemian in the end? Like, do you as someone who watches this and played the game, do you see a move like this and you're like, what is that going to do?
Well, behind the scenes, it's about what Joe Douglas and certainly the Jets, and the fact that Trevor had been with the Jets previously. I think, was it 2019 or something like that?
Yes.
So there's familiarity. That's pretty much what it is. Who you know at this point, Gil.
Who you know.
Yep, and that's how you get a job sometimes as a backup quarterback in the National Football League. Who you know. It's not anything about your ability. It's who you know and who is comfortable with you to kind of come in and understand the Jet way. Whatever that is at this point. I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
The Jet way. No, I mean, but I think that's a great reminder, though. It's who you know. Like, we think, laymen like ourselves, right? We think, oh, because it's the NFL, things that apply in real life don't apply to the NFL. But it is true. Who you know matters. Even though there's only 32 head coaches, there's going to be a group of them that are incompetent, just like in any other profession, right? These things exist in this National Football League bubble as well.
Right.
So are they just going to go with Zach Wilson the rest of the way? Is that what I mean? Or do you think Trevor Siemian will, you know, bleed his way into the lineup, and in the end, will that even matter?
Well, to your point, and let's build on it, too, because I think this is important for bettors to know, you know, teams that are ran by the GM, and it seems like the Jets are, like Robert Saleh, he's not a personnel guy, right? He's a he's an X's and O's. He's a defensive minded kind of head coach, but he's not a personnel type of head coach. And so they're leaning on Joe Douglas to kind of put this team together. And they try to do that. Nathaniel Hackett, the hire right there was because of Aaron Rodgers. They wanted that attraction. And then, okay, the coaches are going to run with it. Now you got Nathaniel Hackett, who doesn't know anybody else in terms of quarterback and other than Aaron Rodgers, if you think about it, from a play calling standpoint. So here you got Joe Douglas, the GM, trying to piecemeal this thing. And you have Robert Saleh trying to hold it together by trying to say the right things about Zach Wilson. But in the locker room, we know as players that guy is not going to get the job done. So you have the personnel department on one page, and then you have the coaches on a different page. And then you'll see it play out on Sundays, the frustration level, right? So the Jets are in disarray, all because their plan went down the toilet once Aaron tore his Achilles.
Yeah. Since you bring up Aaron Rodgers, do you think it was helpful that Aaron Rodgers from, you know, the sidelines said, one, that the offense needed to sort of grow up? I'm paraphrasing. He used different words.
Right.
But essentially, he said everybody needs to get it together. And two, he also allowed for the fact that had he been playing, yeah, they might be 3-0. Like, do you think any of that's helpful?
Well, no, it's not helpful. I mean, obviously, it's Aaron kind of separating himself, kind of like he's done the last few years, right? But he's talking to Nathaniel Hackett, and Hackett's giving him information, and now he's a mouthpiece for Nathaniel Hackett, who I don't know how much credibility he has in that locker room right now. So he's an outsider, right? And, you know, that's just pulling back the curtain on what's going on. He's talking to Hackett, and Hackett's giving him information. And therefore, OK, I can be a mouthpiece wherever I need to be a mouthpiece, whatever platform, to kind of try to ease the situation. But that this thing is not going to get easy.
No,
this thing is more and more difficult as long as they go this direction. I mean, they got to try something different than Zach Wilson at this point.
They got to. It's a got to situation. But what
right.
I mean,
it
what is what just from your sense? And I'll throw the Jets and the Bears as the two leading candidates. Maybe Denver's third in this. I don't know. But what's the franchise right now that appears to you to be the most dysfunctional of the bunch? And extension of that feels like the one that could just explode at any more, implode at any moment.
Right. The irony or a coincidence, maybe. I don't know. It's the Broncos and the Jets, right? The two kind of storylines of the offseason when Sean Payton was calling out Hackett and the fact that he was not a great coach in Denver. And then now Sean Payton is getting embarrassed with that same type of team.
Yes, he is.
The Bears. I don't know how much expectations or how many or high the expectations were for the Bears. I thought people thought it was going to be some improvement, but it's more of the same, right? With Justin, it's more of the same with a new coach, a head coach, and certainly a GM trying to stay on the same page. But because of expectations, because you have a Super Bowl winning head coach out in Denver, and it seems like they keep crashing through the floor. You know, you butt up against the ceiling, right? And you're supposed to get to higher levels, but you're not supposed to keep crashing through floors and get to a new low. But the Broncos find themselves not yet hitting rock bottom. And that, to me, is the most frustrating part. I mean, the Jets went all in on Aaron Rodgers, and like I said, that got flushed down the toilet.
Yeah. Were you ever on a team that was similar to any of this, or did you manage to avoid that?
I mean, Atlanta, we were borderline dysfunctional, but we were also highly talented, though.
And you won games. And you won football games. Yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, you had a GM and Ken Harrock and Jerry Glanville, a head coach, on separate pages, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could see that firsthand as a player. When I got to Denver, it was all unified. It was all about winning a Super Bowl. And certainly you got Mr. Bolin, the owner, on the same page as the GM, the front offices. It's certainly on the same page as the head coaches, too. And same thing in Seattle. And once Mike Holmgren got in there. But, yeah, you can feel and sense the dysfunction as a player in the locker room.
Last thing on this before we get to Colorado. Who is your sense of, and it's never fun to speculate on someone losing their job, but if you had to, who do you think's the first coach fired?
I mean, I think Brandon Staley, I was looking at him for a while, first coach fired, right? You know, Sean Payton's not getting fired.
Nope.
There's a new ownership group and all that stuff. Yeah, Robert Saleh's not getting fired. You know, teams that are really, what high expectations that are underachieving. And that, to me, is the Chargers. You know, they have high expectations, perhaps underachieving. Now, if they beat the Raiders, maybe the heat comes off of Staley a little bit. But he's up there. You know, certainly. And, you know, I was looking at the Cowboys before. Like, if they don't get to a Super Bowl or if it falls apart, which it's not, Dallas is going to be fine. You can look there. But, you know, Staley is in the crosshairs at this moment in terms of coaching.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to Colorado. We said it on this show, I'm sure everybody did, which is, all right, this is a fun content ride until they get to the Oregon and USC games. Then the Travis Hunter injury happened, and it just exacerbated the fact that this is going to be that much more difficult. And Colorado gets absolutely rolled by Oregon. Yeah. Dan Lanning certainly was not shy with his comments. Dion had an interesting comment the other day where he's like, I know what you're trying to get me to say, but you're not going to provoke me into saying it. I'm not going to try to provoke you into saying certain things either. But do you get the sense that this will be a better outcome at USC, or can we expect more of the same?
No, I think it'll
home
be
against USC, I should say.
Yeah, home against USC. I think it'll be different. You know, everything was new again for Colorado on the road inside the Pac-12. You know, Shedeur Sanders, as well as he's played, he can't play that way against a team like Oregon, holding the ball, waiting and trying to let the play develop because teams are too good for that. So they'll get coached up off of that. You know, defensively, being better tacklers and rallying and getting to the ball carrier. You know, I think being in a position to make a play. I think Coach Prime and his staff will coach the players up on that. But it's a different animal than a non-con, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're in this conference, and a lot of teams are familiar with you, and certainly there's a lot more tape. There's more evaluation of the personnel. And so Colorado has to evolve. But can they evolve? That's the biggest question as a bettor. Can they evolve enough to help them move the ball, which they can't because they can't run it at this point? Can Shadur evolve enough to be a more efficient passer, get rid of the ball quicker, have a chance to move the ball, move the chains, and get into rhythm? And then defensively, can they make enough plays to slow down SC? I think Colorado can move the ball. I think Sean Lewis is a good enough offense coordinator to kind of help the team evolve. It's just about execution. And then defensively, I mean, can they make a play or two, right? I expect CU to score a better, you know, have better situations of scoring than they did against Oregon on the road. But SC is polished. They're deeper. And certainly they got a quarterback that knows what he's doing. So it's going to be tough sledding for the Buffs. But yeah. I do think that they can move the ball. They'll be better than they were against Oregon, though.
They will be better. Okay, 20 seconds for this. It's a 10 a.m. Mountain Time start. Did you ever play a game that early, and do you expect scoring to be muted? Or maybe how do you think it affects the game, if at all? Oh, we lost Pritch. I would like to get the answer to that question. I'm going to ask him that off air. We'll get the answer to that, because that is a 10 a.m. Mountain Time start. And the total right now, we don't have one, right? So I'm just curious what his thought would be on that. Sorry about our internet here today. We'll come back. We will talk to Jason Weingarten. We'll talk to Pete Futek, and I'll get that answer from Pritch. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Skill Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets, Kelly, at Beating the Book. Before we read the tweets, can I just say a very sort of heartfelt RIP, rest in peace, pouring out a 40, however you kids want to do it today, to Brooks Robinson. Brooks Robinson, who passed away at 86 years old yesterday. Even I, too young to ever see Brooks play the sport of baseball, when I was a kid, and again, those of us who were Washingtonians at the time that I grew up were too young to be Senators fans, too old to be Nationals fans, so we were all Orioles fans growing up. But Brooksy was in the booth with the legendary Colts and Orioles broadcaster Chuck Thompson when I was a kid, and how we knew Brooks, and Brooks had already won two championships, two World Series with the Orioles, both in 1966 and 1970. He played his entire career with Baltimore. Just absolutely, you know, maybe the greatest Oriole of all time. I'm sure some people will say it's Cal Ripken. Some people would say it's Eddie Murray. I think Brooksy is probably the most beloved. Grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas. Absolutely, you know, was just the Orioles legend of all time. 16 gold gloves, 18 all-stars. It's just amazing to even think about. But when I was a kid, he was in the booth. He was so lovable. And whenever a foul ball came up to the booth, Chuck Thompson would always scream, "Watch out, Brooks." And so our entire childhood, when anything would happen to me and my friends, like, was like, "Oh no," like, so we'd all say, "Watch out, Brooks." It was kind of our thing to say, just as a tribute to Chuck Thompson. He was such a wonderful guy in so many ways. Folksy, I guess they would call him.
Yeah.
But for those of us who grew up in that area of the country, Brooks Robinson passing away at the age of 86. I wish I had seen him play.
I was going to say, a little before my time, but, you know, ESPN always doing a great job with, you know, these tribute packages they put together. Just watching today, this morning, and just kind of hearing him talk about his career and stuff, it was special, because you just don't get, I don't know how many people really, appreciate what they have in the moment, right? And that was a lot of the of the clips you were hearing back from him was like, he's like, I'm the luckiest guy on the planet. What I got to do every single day, you know, on the field and that kind of stuff. And it's just, I think it's great to see stuff like that.
Yeah, and they'll never, you know, like how many players ever will play that many years for one franchise, you know? You know, all those years, I think it was a grand total of, was it 23 years as a Baltimore Oriole? Don't hold me to that exactly. But again, the Gold Gloves, 16 of them, the All-Stars, 18. By the way, real quick, Mike Pritchard has texted me the answer to that question I asked about, hey, do you think this early time, again, this is 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. It's 10 a.m. Mountain Time in Boulder when this game kicks off. And he said, we played all of our games at noon Mountain Time. This is Pritch talking. I think it's an early call for USC. The 10 a.m. kickoff will actually be 9 a.m. for the Trojans. They'll try to practice at 9 a.m., but the game day morning routine will be off. USC rarely travels east. When they do, it's against Notre Dame, and I believe those are typically night games. So Pritch saying there is some sort of incremental edge there that perhaps Colorado will have in that respect,
I guess. It's got to throw off your whole daily routine or your whole game day routine.
Let's bring in Pete Futak. We have Pete Futak via Alexander Graham Bell's wonderful invention, the telephone. Telephony, I believe they call it. It's Pete Futak from College Football News. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete, F-I-U-T-A-K. How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing just fine. How's Gil doing today?
He's very well. Why are we referring to him in the third person? He's not here? What happened to him?
It's more fun that way. It makes, you know, kind of elevates the Gil.
Let us start with your favorite college football bets of the week. What do you like best? And I think we lost Pete on the phone as well. So that's unfortunate. Right?
The problem with that, though, is a little bit more like the NFL now, where on any given Saturday, you know, one conference team can rise up and, you know, screw up another team. So until that happens, kind of go with what we know. We know that LSU is good. LSU had a rough time last week with Arkansas. LSU minus 2.5 this week's a little bit of a gift. I'm going to stick with the SEC here to start, just because that's the, you know, that's kind of where the bigger games are for the most part outside of the Pac-12 this week. So LSU is where to start with that. Because, again, I think that this team is just starting to roll. Jalen Daniels has been brilliant and consistent. So LSU minus 2.5. 63.5 is a big point total. Usually I'd like to stay away from anything like that, except Tennessee and South Carolina should be a bit of a shootout. Tennessee's going to get back in. I think Tennessee covers in kind of a revenge game after last year. South Carolina's defense has been awful, but both offenses rip it up and go crazy in the over on the 63.5.
Okay. How many teams, Pete, do you think, legit, now everybody who's never heard Pete before, and I'm going to say this with Pete here because Pete accepts this moniker, he even dubbed it himself, self-dubbed it, he's a bit of a Power 5 snob, so we just all know that.
A bit.
I don't mean to offend you. You're a large snob of the Power 5. Okay, how many teams legitimately do you think can win the title in a year that most have conceded is about as wide open as it comes?
The only reason it's wide open as it comes is because people haven't actually watched Georgia. Because remember, last year, Georgia started the season off against Oregon, and within about 2 minutes, they were up 45-0, and it's like, oh, wow, Georgia. But everyone forgets that Georgia struggled for a half against Kent State. It's like, oh, no, what's wrong with Georgia? And then they needed everything in the bag in week 5 and a big drive late to beat Missouri. So it wasn't like Georgia was Georgia last year at this time. This year's team just hasn't really played anybody other than South Carolina, and they were fine. It just is a different sort of team. It's steady. It's destroying teams, but it's taking a little while to get there. So I'm not buying into, long-winded way of saying, I'm not buying into the idea that it's not just Georgia and everyone else. Talent-wise, it's Georgia and Ohio State and everyone else. But this year, like, what are we missing is kind of the big question. Is this the year that Penn State kind of is just that good and rises up? And I'm not going to say they're LSU of a couple of years ago, but they're right there in the mix of stuff to be good. Oklahoma, we still don't quite know yet what we have. except we know that Texas is Texas and it's going to blow it at some point. So I would say to answer your question, to actually legitimately win the national title, again, once you get to the 14 tournament, you can't. It's impossible for a TCU-like team to win twice. So to win it talent-wise, there's Georgia, there's Ohio State. I think USC, if Caleb goes off, has an outside shot at doing it. And then maybe Michigan, if they can start running the ball a little bit better. But there's not a lot once you get past Georgia.
Okay. I expected that answer from you. I just wanted to confirm. About Ohio State, they beat Notre Dame on what didn't, well, yeah, it didn't turn out to be the final play because that was a huge ruling at the end for gambling purposes because the number was 3 and Ohio State did, in fact, get to kick an extra point.
Ryan, they screwed it up, by the way, by actually kicking it. That was the dumb call because the one thing that kills you is less as low a chance as it is the blocked extra point for 2 to tie it up.
It's a very good point.
What he should have done is he should have taken the knee and just been like, we're not even risking that. And instead, he makes the bonehead coaching decision, and everyone pushed out there.
Well, he was too angry at Lou Holtz to think straight at that point, I suppose.
this little engine that could Ohio State thing. Maybe they'll make it someday.
That's right. I will say, though, he played those final two plays correctly before that, where he appropriately... Yes. Passed on the first one and ran on the second one because you couldn't afford to run on the first because then the clock could have bled out. So I will say that about it. Did you learn the question I wanted to get to? Did you learn more about Ohio State or Notre Dame in that final result?
I would say we learned about Ohio State surviving advance. Look, Notre Dame's really good, and they have the lines. And I guess to your other point is who can win the national championship? Who can you be in the mix? You can't do it unless both of your lines are absolute killer. You can't have a leaky offensive front, and that is not Notre Dame. Their offensive line was terrific in that game, and the defensive line held up really well. So Notre Dame's legit, and Ohio State got by it. And again, look, eventually it might just snap, and eventually this might just it might just all start to work for Ohio State because. Again, we joke about me being a snob, but unfortunately, the disparity in talent in college football is so great sometimes that you just can't pick anybody outside the box to win it because they just don't have the guys. And we saw that in the national championship. And Ohio State has the NFL wide receivers. They have NFL starting running back, and NFL starting offensive line. It's just a question of whether or not McCord can come through. And he came through when they absolutely had to have him.
Thank
the
you,
last
Pete.
Drive. It wasn't always pretty, but boom. Later, Gil.
Pete Futak, everybody. We'll come back with Jason Weingarten on MLB next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action. Hell yeah, it is. So download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with code VEGAS. That's code VEGAS. The crown is yours. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. This is from, I'm going to pick up where we left off. This is from DPAC48. He says, I have zero desire to watch this F1 race, but Gil, somehow I'm extremely heated an hour later over the fact that your property management is charging you a fee to watch it. Thank you, DPAC48. Thank you for sympathizing and commiserating with my first world problems. I appreciate that very much. Right. You're 100% right. Scotty B726, Minnesota to Carolina this week reminds me of Detroit at Carolina last year, week 16. If memory serves, Carolina won that by like 2 touchdowns, I believe. Yeah. Crazy Carl, this is great. So I remember how Britch said the jet way during his segment?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, is the jet way where you board the airplane from one of those enclosed walkways? It wouldn't match the Jets culture to walk on the tarmac to metal stairs to board the plane, right? That's excellent. Keno Walker, good morning, y'all. Speculations that the Las Vegas Aces could be coming to the Yay area. Got any info on that? Golden State Aces. The WNBA is expanding. They announced that they're going to be expanding to the Bay Area. I think they want to expand two places, but one will be in the Bay Area. You think about the Bay Area with their rich history in women's basketball at Stanford, particularly. I don't think the Aces are moving just because he's making a Mark Davis connection. I don't think the Aces are moving anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't been following that whole story, but don't they just have expansion teams coming?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's moving.
No, nobody's moving, as far as we know. Let's see. What to read through?
Good preface. Oh, as far as we know,
trust the glove. Mr. Robinson, talking about Brooksy now, was on TV. His reflexes were unworldly. Short brim brilliance. You know what he means by that? Short brim brilliance.
When I caught it this morning, I didn't before this morning.
Brooks Robinson, when he was batting, used to wear this batting helmet with the smallest little brim. It was a vision thing for him when he was at the plate. He didn't, in the field, he wore a normal soft baseball cap.
Which apparently the first one he just grabbed a saw and sawed off himself.
Drew from Boise, my first new baseball glove was a Brooks Robinson model. Wearing it at 7 years old, I felt like I could catch everything. RIP, that's awesome. Scott Van Pelt tells a great Brooks Robinson story, by the way, where his dad caught a Brooks Robinson foul ball. Can you imagine at a baseball game you caught a Brooks Robinson ball? And of course, SVP was saying he went out and then he played with it with his buddies, and the ball, as kids do, gets overthrown, hit, and goes down a sewer. He loses the Brooks ball. Never told his dad. He was so distraught about it. And apparently he told this story somewhere. He knew somebody who knew Brooks. Brooks sent him a ball. Hope this makes up for your trouble.
Brooks, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, signed baseball from Brooks Robinson. Jason Weingarten joins us right now from under a cloud of smoke to talk MLB. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. You're not excited about the F1 race?
Not excited about what?
The F1 race.
Oh, I'm not excited because they're charging me big dollars to see it from my own roof. That's why I'm not excited. Are you kidding me? I mean,
it's been a pain on traffic, too. I didn't like it last time I was there.
Dude. You have no idea. Like every day. Oh, I could complain for hours, but I'll spare you. But it's been awful. Like the city has been. I said there should be some reporter who has the onions to write a whole expose about this. Who got greased? What politician got greased to ruin the city for 4 months? Because the economic boon of this could not have been worth our trouble. But you know why that's not going to happen? Because they're going to be scared that somebody's going to do something to them. That's my read on it. That's what should happen. It's not going to happen, though.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I got to ask you this question. I know I said I wasn't going to bring it up again, but now that we've had almost the whole season done and Spencer Strider can pitch for his 20th win this week, I know I'm already hearing the groans out there. I just want to point this out one time. So Tom Tango, who listens to this show, Tom Tango, who invented Fielding Independent, Kelly's already laughing at me, who also, of course, came up with a run expectancy matrix. So on his site, Tom Tango, he's got Blake Snell winning in the NL by a wide margin. He's got Garrett Cole winning in the American League. But he also puts down Bill James' Cy Young points and Bill James' season score. And Bill James has Spencer Strider winning it by a wide margin. My question to you is this. After all of this, Blake Snell having this historical year, highest walk rate, lowest ERA, hasn't happened since 1913, in near historical strand rate. Justin Steele, the Cubs blew a great performance by him again last night. Could it be that Strider, if he wins his 20th, like how many vote? What percentage of voters do you think it'll come down to whether Strider wins his 20th this week? Have we missed this point the whole time?
No, I mean, I don't think it matters, but you get a number high enough, it's always worth, taking a shot. Like, you get 100-1, yeah. You never know.
I guess the point is this. We've brought up the 20 and the 300, right? We got shy of the 300 strikeouts, Jason, but it's humans, right? Voting.
Yeah, but Snell's numbers, like you look at his last 13 starts or whatever, like he's earned it. I think.
Oh, I do, too.
It might have been a down year overall, but I think he earns it.
I do, too. I think he's completely earned it, 100%. You can't win an ERA, a Cy Young with a 3.81 ERA. I just wanted to point this out one last time because Bill James has it as Strider.
And should we be betting the Padres to make the playoffs?
if you like ultimate chaos, the answer is yes. Because I recall what it must have been like, probably almost 10 years ago now, but like, some stuff came down to the last day of the season, and I remember the Rays were, had to win a walk-off. Like, things happen. Baseball is designed for, you know, maximum entropy at the end of the season. So
there, by the way, what Jason's talking about, just to clarify, there is one far-fetched scenario where you have this massive tie at the end where the Padres, the Giants were eliminated last night, but the Padres have this one inkling scenario where they could still get it. It's going
to
be
They're
over
not even
today.
Listed at DraftKings
yeah,
anymore.
It's not even listed because it's so ridiculous. What did you bet today in baseball, Jason?
Yeah, I had a couple bets. You know, right now you're kind of getting into the situational stuff the last couple days. I like to fade the Angels. That's still always, you know, an option every day. Rangers minus 145 today. Pretty reasonable. I did bet the Pirates. Pirates plus 119 right now. That's just because Phillies clinched last night. And I don't know if you saw the videos. They're getting wasted in the locker room. So,
yeah.
Give me the dog here today. You know, those this is usually a good spot. Might not.
And we might have lost Jason too. Hopefully he comes back. Well, what he's pointing out is there's a tried and true baseball angle.
The post celebration.
As soon as the post celebration fade, right? So the Phillies clinched the number one wild card position. By the way, the Brewers clinched the NL Central by virtue of that Cubs unbelievable loss to the Braves yesterday, squandering the 6-run lead, and then Suzuki just whiffing on that fly ball. So there's that tried and true fate. And by the way, I just want to say this about the Buccos, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Even before this game where they're playing a team that's coming off a celebration, and this gets back to our strength of schedule comments from the beginning of the show, where it's like, I don't think you can trust strength of schedule in baseball. The Pittsburgh Pirates deserve a shout out. They've had nothing to play for, and they come out, Jason, we have Jason Weingarten back, every night, and they play solid baseball. And they've been doing teams that are in the race real solid by putting out a great effort every night. So shout out to the Buccos for whatever it's worth.
And they went over their win total.
Did you have that one?
Yeah, I think I gave it out on the pod we did at the beginning of the season.
I think you did, yes. How did your win totals end up on the season? You didn't do that many, did you?
Well, I have the Marlins, so it's going to cost me a whole bunch of money this week. Other than that, though, I did look this morning. I've been trying to ignore it, but the Mariners 87.5. I took that number because Roxy took it. They got, they're 85 right now with 5 games left. So I'm excited to sweat the last couple of these Mariners games, figure out how I want to play that down the stretch. I'm pretty excited about that. But otherwise, the Marlins are going to kind of ruin my win totals because I had more money on that than everything else. My other season-long bets, the home runs and everything, I'm going to win all of those. Right now, except Yoshida, the outfielder on the Red Sox, I need one more home run to go over his total, and I could sweep my preseason props there.
Wow, good for you. What is the one that you've
been waiting? I've been waiting for like a month for one more home run.
Yeah. What is the one? What do you think was the best bet of the bunch that you made pre-flop this year?
Gunnar Henderson. I bet him like right after the Super Bowl. Pretty much, and then I bet him again at like 18-1 or 15-1. So I was more disciplined this year. I didn't fire off a whole bunch of rookie of the year bets. I just kind of sat off Gunnar Henderson. And looks like he's going to come in, and I'm excited. I'm going to buy a couple of his baseball cards.
There you go. That's it as a celebration. All right, real quick, 10 seconds. If someone wanted to make a futures play per value right now to win it all, what's the play?
I'm looking at the Dodgers. I think Dodgers are going to beat Braves if we're lucky enough to get that matchup. My money is going to be on the Dodgers. Keep an eye out for a Dodgers Braves series price if we get there. I'm just going to say that and say bet the Dodgers if we get that series.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. We'll come back. Our NFL power rankings next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Worlds are colliding. I don't know if you know this, but we got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. We just need your help. Up for grabs is a $1,000 voucher at Circus Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. Now, to sweeten the deal for you, you will save 40%. Let me repeat that. 40%.
What? How much?
I'm going to go with 40% when you sign up on our football season special and use promo code ANG. What does that stand for, Kelly?
A numbers game. ANG.
Bragging rights and a $1,000 future ticket is on the line. We were told this morning that no other promo code works. Just ANG. Okay, maybe I'm making that part up. Make this football season your best ever and help us do the same. Save 40% off our football season special today. It really is a great deal. When you use promo code ANG, that's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. All the tweets are very amusing this morning. I appreciate it. I just want to read the one.
Nobody responded to my first offer in the first hour of I would chug a beer in the final segment if we got proof that someone signed up, but nobody's tweeted at us.
I missed you saying that.
Yeah.
Did you say that out loud?
Yeah, said it during a promo, yeah.
Really? So if someone does that during the show, you will chug a beer?
I think we'll have to do that tomorrow, but okay. Yeah, at this point.
Yeah. I mean, really, but there's nothing else for us to give. Bitfair, absolute masterclass of dealing with getting through a tough show today, sir. Hang in there, Gil. That's very kind of you. We're having a ball. What are you kidding me? It's awesome, but it's very kind of you to say that. We've promised this all show. We haven't gotten around to this yet.
Bum, 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 bum.
So it's time to do it. NFL Power Rankings. 107.5 The Bone. What? That? Did you hear that? It sounds like it was local radio station there for a second. Power rankings in the National Football League, which have remained, I would say, top five, as consistent as it gets here in the early going. Maybe a team moves up a spot or not, but the top five teams, I can't imagine that anybody doesn't have some version of Niners, Chiefs, Eagles, Dolphins, and Cowboys, and maybe the Bills as a top six.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
Is it even a top six?
It's a top six. I think those are. Now, people like.
No, I think it's a top five. Okay. I think it's a top five. I think you could make some arguments.
Okay. Well, I have it. Niners 1. That remains the same from last week. I have Chiefs 2. That remains the same. I did put the Eagles up a notch. I put the Dolphins up a notch. The Cowboys dropped 2 because of that loss to Arizona, but they're still top 5. Then I do have the Bills, who inhabited the number 6 position last week. They inhabit that again. I think at this point is where it sort of then starts to stray from person to person. I have the Browns in my top 10 for the first time. That defense is too good to ignore.
Yep, too good.
Too good to ignore. I've got the Browns moving in for the first time. They're at 7. I dropped the Ravens down to 8. I still think they're a top 10 football team. And where it gets even dicier, Kelly, I think, is when you go 9-10. I had the Seahawks as my 10th ranked team last week. I have them at 9. I know there's a lot of people who are like, Seahawks? Yeah, because I don't know that there are that many other candidates. And I've got the Chargers back in at number 10, because ultimately when I look at the NFL, I still think the Chargers, for all of their flaws, and boy, oh boy, do we know that they've got flaws, I still think they're really good. They just can't get it together. If they could ever get it together from a coaching standpoint, I mean, talent-wise, are you kidding me? I've got them at 10. Here's who I don't have in there. I don't have the Bengals in there. Haven't had them all year.
Nope, you have not.
Nope. What you got?
I think the other thing is important to lay out, because me and you always have done this the same way. When we used to do this on Primetime Action, Matt would always kind of do it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Stop me if I'm wrong here. But I always look at this as this is how I have these teams ranked projecting forward, right? So this is sometimes there are some, like Seahawks right now, right? There's a ton of injuries on that team. Would they be in my top 10 today? No. Are they probably in my top dozen at least, though, for going forward? Absolutely. Because that team is still quality team, but they've got some, they're stacked up with injuries. Just like if you wanted to tell me the Packers are in your top 10 right now, fine, I'm not going to really argue with you on that, because we really haven't seen the full potential of what that team could be yet. So I think it's important to lay out. I think before we get to mine, I think the bigger question actually is they're top 8. Because me and you have the same 8 teams.
I'm looking at yours for the first time. We got the same top 8.
Yeah, and we can go to them now. But
the same 8 teams are at the top.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess the question marks there are Browns and Ravens, but I don't really know that, like, it's those two teams.
The issue is there is nobody obvious to replace them at 7 or 8. Like that, I think we used to say, like, the league last year, even, mm-hmm. we were like, oh, after 9, it falls off a cliff.
Right, right.
And then after 13, it really falls into the abyss. I think it's almost sooner now, right? Like, it's, I think it's creeping up to 8 because who else can you justify besides Browns and Ravens at this point? We're like, oh, they're absolutely 7 or 8. Nobody. There's no other team.
I don't think so, at least. I mean, I guess, you know, I'll bring up teams like the Packers again, or if, like, you know, we keep hearing these people that are so high on the damn Falcons, you know what I mean? Like,
stop it.
Maybe.
No.
But, like, I'm with you. And to me, there's 8, and then there's a pretty big drop-off after that 8th team. I didn't even really know what to do with 9-10 for me. So, top five remain the same. I just did a lot of shuffling this week with my top five. I mean, Cowboys lose. They were my number one team last week. Look, I think there's still a big separation between those top five teams and everybody else behind them. I expect Cowboys bounce back this week. I think there's somewhere in between, Gil, from what we saw that team look like last week and what we saw them look like week one. They're not as good as a 40-0 win over the Giants. They're not as bad as what they looked like last week. I think you're going to see this team get it together, but they fall down to 5th for me. I had to move up the Dolphins, so Eagles had to drop down a spot.
Yep.
I think that was the most interesting thing to me this week when doing this was, where do you put the Dolphins? Because they are exciting as hell. But how much do you really trust them long term, right? And I think
I've had them in the top five the whole way.
No, we have. I think I've been there right there with you. Maybe week one they were 6, 7, 8 for me. I don't really remember. But right now they've got to be in that range until you see something bad out of them.
So it occurs to me to sort of stop and say this, which is, okay, some people are going to be listening and say, okay, why do you guys even do this? Like, who cares what your power rankings are? First of all, you don't have to be that rude about it when you ask this. It's a hypothetical conversation in my head. Hey, why are you so rude about it? The question becomes, and it's a valid one, how close do you actually adhere to your power rankings when handicapping games on a week-to-week basis? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great question because, for me, I can't answer it that consistently. In other words, so Miami's at Buffalo this week.
Yeah, and if I was going to bet that game, the only side I'd be betting is Miami.
You would only be betting Miami?
Yes.
Okay.
I am not considering a Bills bet whatsoever.
For me, the way that the power rankings helps me is that it allows me, how can I put this? It prevents me from overreacting to recency bias.
Yes.
So if the Cowboys lose a game as miserably as they do to the Arizona Cardinals, which, let me just say it again, the Cardinals, who very well could be 3-0, they didn't win that game helped by turnovers. Mm-hmm. They just popped them in the mouth.
Yeah. They just beat them.
But I'm not going to, like, in my head, you could very easily, as a football viewer, be like, oh, the Cowboys are terrible. I had them all wrong. No, I just dropped them to 5, right? So as a framework, that just sort of helps keep you honest.
Yes.
That's the way it helps me.
Yep.
I don't know that if, like, who did I have as my my 8 and my 9? Like, if the Ravens at 8.
You had Ravens 8, Seahawks 9.
Seahawks 9. If the Ravens are hosting the Seahawks, does that mean I make them precisely a 4-point favorite because they're not only the 3 points of home, but they're 1 point better in power rankings? I don't use them in that way. Some people do.
Yeah, yeah. I think it also depends on, you know, a lot of other NFL betting things, right? Situation, spot, all that kind of stuff, I think, does come into play. Yeah. Look, the Browns, just to hit on the Browns again, I mean, I think that is the team, much like people said about the Niners last year, where it's, I don't really care what's going on the offensive side of the ball. I don't care who's playing quarterback and what the play looks like. This defense is so damn good. I think they are going to stay a good team for the entirety of the season as long as they maintain health on that side of the ball. And I think Ravens 8, they're 8 for both of us, I believe. Yeah, 8 for both of us. I would say they have they're the team that's down there
teetering the most.
That teetering the most to either go down or up. Like, this team has been banged up all year. I think they could end up looking a whole lot better in a couple weeks. I wouldn't be shocked if they slide in my top 5 somehow. I also wouldn't be shocked if they slide out of the top 10.
There's also there's a bit of organizational confirmation bias with the Ravens. Like, we know them to be a solid organization, and they always seem to figure it out, and Harbaugh always puts out a good team. So a little bit of that seeps into our thought, too.
And I also don't think we've seen what this Ravens offense offense was designed to be this year because of the injuries. I forgot who brought it up earlier this week, but it's very true. The new offense are supposed to be developing. The injuries have held them back from really being able to run that fully, I think.
Yeah. It's an interesting exercise. Everybody should do it. Mathematically, for some, not quite as mathematically for others, but it can only help you when handicapping NFL from week to week. That does it for us. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.